I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. African Union troops in Somalia have launched a major assault on the Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab. The group controls large swaths of Somalia. Also, Al-Shabaab this week announced that it had merged operations with Al-Qaeda militants in the country. The instability and violence in Somalia, along with drought, have created a humanitarian crisis there. But few aid groups venture to work in areas controlled by Al-Shabaab. One of the few that does is Doctors Without Borders. The group has just released a new book about the complexities of its work. It's called Humanitarian Negotiations Revealed. Duncan McLean manages Doctors Without Borders operations in Somalia. He says the group's hospital on the outskirts of Mogadishu treats everyone, including injured Al-Shabaab fighters.
We've always treated anyone who would basically turn up, so we're well aware that amongst the patients will be fighters, civilians. We don't make that distinction. And in terms of releasing them back to the population, we don't incarcerate them. We treat them as we would anyone else, as any other hospital would work anywhere in the world.
And treating those injured without distinction, that position has drawn some criticism, as you know. The African Union has called Doctors Without Borders the opposition's war surgeons. How do you respond to that?
Probably gently remind our colleagues in the African Union that we also operate programs, medical programs, throughout the country, including Mogadishu and areas under the control of the transitional federal government supported by the African Union. And we don't make a distinction, actually, in terms of where we operate and under who we operate. We base it on where the needs are the greatest.
Still, I imagine the ethical dilemmas you face in Somalia must be pretty mind-boggling. Most international aid groups have left. And here's something from your group's new book about the trials of working there. Doctors Without Borders says, while we were able to appeal to the African Union not to bomb residential neighborhoods, we have never asked Al-Shabaab not to use civilians as a human shield when its members take cover in the market. And then it goes on to say, we are afraid of losing what we have managed to put in place. It sounds like you have a go softly, softly approach. Is that kind of risky?
Yeah, certainly it is. And we're very well aware of the almost double standard that we'd use to maintain operations, notably in areas controlled by the Al-Shabaab. And what we did last summer was actually suspend operations in the hospital that you were referring to at the start of the interview, a hospital called Denile. And we suspended it because we considered the pressures that the staff, the team were facing in the hospital, the pressures by the Al-Shabaab to be unacceptable. We considered that we crossed, a red line of sorts, and that the only responsible action would be to cease operations.
Now, apparently Al-Shabaab wanted money, is that correct?
Yeah, the pressures that we face from not just Al-Shabaab, but basically anywhere we work, including the areas under control of the transitional government, is generally about resources, and money being the most obvious one. And extortion is certainly rampant.
Still, that's got to be a very tough decision. I mean, what are your guidelines about making the decision of when to pay the price of extortion and when to leave?
What you've just described is one of the themes of the book that you introduced at the start of the interview, and that there is no guiding principle set in stone that we can apply to every situation and every circumstance. When we talk about Somalia, part of the explanation of the compromises that we've made, and which create an enormous amount of internal debate as well, not just public, has been that the needs are dramatic and there are very few other actors around. So we managed to convince ourselves to a certain degree that we can go further than what we would perhaps do elsewhere where other actors are available, other types of support are available. But to give you a clear guiding line to say, you know, this is where, as I said earlier, the red line, we cross that and it's simply we withdraw or we suspend or we do whatever. Unfortunately, it's a shifting line that we have to adjust to constantly and have to reanalyze constantly to try and have some type of responsible behavior in what is a profoundly irresponsible situation.
Mm. It seems like it's just a hard fact of life, and maybe you can confirm this, that if you're going to work in Somalia, you're going to, directly or indirectly, be helping the warring parties.
Yeah, I would carry that still. I mean, I would carry that much further and say there are many, many parts of the world where we basically accept that a certain degree of that aid that we're providing will be used for other ends than what we intend it to be. And it'd be naive to consider it otherwise, to sort of maintain this idealistic image of aid work that only those in greatest need, only civilians, only the intended beneficiaries are receiving. In our case, it's medical aid, but we could be talking about food aid. We could be talking about water sanitation programs. We could be talking about all sorts of things. That's simply a fact of humanitarian work today, I would say, as much as it's unpleasant to consider.
Duncan McLean manages the Doctors Without Borders Somalia operation. Duncan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much to you.